Let's turn to the book of Luke. Luke 17. I'm going to read verses 26 to 29. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Sudden changes may occur in the lives of any of us. At this time of the year, I think we can be particularly conscious of this because of what happened just 40 years ago yesterday. At that time, people in America were not much concerned about world conditions. There were a few who were energetically going about the country declaring that what happened abroad was nothing for us to concern ourselves with. We wanted peace. We wanted to stay out of these foolish wars that people were conducting across the sea. It was true that Hitler had organized the German people into a cohesive force, that he had directed his armies into France, Belgium, Denmark, Norway, Poland, Czechoslovakia, and that had taken a large part of Russia. But what concern was that of ours, they said? Everything was going on as it had been in this country. We were gradually getting out of the Depression. Things were not yet good. They were much better than they had been in the bottom of it. Why should we concern ourselves with what happened over on the other side of the great ocean, which it took from 7 to 10 days to cross at that time? Over in the Pacific, the Japanese had then already for 10 years been trying to conquer China, and they had taken large portions of that land. But again, the average American was little interested. Things were going on here. What did we care about what happened in those areas? And then 40 years ago, yesterday morning, something happened that exactly fits what is described in this chapter. People in Hawaii, there were the greater part of the American Navy was gathered in the harbors there. People were not much concerned. It was good to be there. Nobody would think of attacking this nation all that distance across the ocean. Roosevelt was ordering the Japanese to withdraw from what they had taken and not to carry on aggressive warfare anymore. But nobody was taking very seriously what he said. They did not realize that the Japanese war leaders were saying, suppose the United States should get into war. There's that tremendous navy there in Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. And if they were to come over, it would be a tremendous injury to us. Can't we creep in there and destroy it? And then we'll be safe over here. A word was sent to the commander of the navy in Pearl Harbor, and he was told about a week before that he should have things in good shape because there might be some hostile action. The United States had not seen hostile action then for 20 years. None of it as near as Hawaii then. And nobody paid a great deal of attention to this rather mild warning inserted in the course of other news that they had received. Saturday night, people were quite at ease, never dreaming of any trouble, never thinking that 300 miles away to the north, there was
a large group of Japanese ships that had already been underway for 3 weeks and that were all poised with 300 airplanes ready to attack the next morning. Now, the morning came and word came in that a submarine had been sighted, but they were not able to find any trace of it, or they decided it didn't amount to anything. Radar was just in its infancy then. They were sort of experimenting with it. And at about 7 o'clock, a man who was fooling around with the radar said, "I see a large group of airplanes which are seem to be heading in this direction, about 200 miles away." "Oh," they said, "I think I heard there was another group of planes coming in from the United States. Don't pay attention to that." Pretty soon he reported again, "They're only 50 miles away now." "Oh," they said, "it'll be nice to see them all when they get here." And as the planes came over, one of the pilots of one of the planes waved to somebody he happened to see on the street in Hawaii, and the man waved back. They thought how wonderful these folks have gotten here. And then all of a sudden, at 7:55, the bombs began to drop. The guns were shooting. The submarines were entering the harbor. And in the next 15 minutes, there was as much damage done for the American Navy as had been done in 3 or 4 years of war in any earlier time. Those great battleships, one after another, within 15 minutes after they arrived, the Arizona exploded from a direct hit. Other planes, other great battleships toppled over and then sunk to the bottom. There were over 2,000 sailors that died in the attack. And people said that if the Japanese had realized how great the damage was, how completely immobilized the American Navy was, they could have come right in and taken California with comparatively little difficulty. I think this verse here fits very well the situation. People are taking things easy, everything was going along. There's nothing to worry about. Things continue exactly as they have been. That certainly is the attitude in our country today. Things are going forward. We hear about great preparations for war over across the seas. Russia has a larger standing army. It mobilized than Hitler had at the beginning of the last war. The President of the United States recently made a statement that the Russians have machines trained on Europe such that just about every city in Europe could be destroyed in a few minutes if they let loose their missiles. And he has made the very gracious offer that if the Russians will remove all those, we won't put any in. You can imagine what effect that has on the people of Europe. They would like to have peace continue, and they certainly don't want us starting putting missiles in there and giving the Russians the idea to start shooting us. So we find this passage very appropriate to our world conditions. But I'm thinking more this morning of our personal situation. We none of us know what may be up there. You never know when calamity will strike. You never know when your nation will be struck. You never know when an individual will be struck. You never know when some catastrophe comes in your family. And in those situations, the person who does not know the Lord is in a truly bad situation. I was greatly pleased in reading the book called Dawes, the story of the life story of the founder of the Navigators, to read how when a few years later some of these battleships were lifted up from the bottom of the harbor and they found the bodies of some of the sailors there. They found in some of the rooms some of the navigators there with their Bibles open and others gathered around them, as they had been that morning when the attack came. How wonderful it was that these people who were about to be ushered into eternity were having the Word of God presented to them just when the calamity came. I think Pearl Harbor Day is a time for us all to realize that our days may be short. Our time of service to the Lord, it may be long, it may be short. Nobody knows. But there is always the possibility of sudden calamity, of a sudden end to it. And the Lord is not going to ask us, how many good times did you have? What good marks did you make? How much were you praised during your time here? He's going to ask, what did you do for Christ? How many souls did you reach for Him? How much were you able to do in talking with Christians to help them to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord? How many lost opportunities did you have? Every one of us has many lost opportunities. I'm sure that one lost opportunity that every seminary student will feel sometime is the opportunity when you were here to discuss problems with individuals who had spent much time studying similar problems, had spent time studying the various parts of the Bible, and could perhaps have given you a clue to an answer to some problem that barely occurred to you in the course of your preparation or your study. But that sometime later you find yourself in a situation where, oh, if only I had a chance to discuss this thing, to go into the depth of it with somebody who's gone into it already and who has thought it through during years. But now I don't have that access. How much we all feel as we look back about wasting opportunities like that. I remember one time in seminary, one of my first years of teaching, there was a young man in the seminary whom we tried to persuade to teach a Sunday school class. And he was interested only in studying, delving deep into various problems, but he didn't feel he wanted to spend time teaching a Sunday school class. And we tried to point out to him the importance of it, but he just wouldn't listen. He wasn't interested. And after he graduated, he became pastor of a church up in northwestern Canada, and we got a letter from him. And he said, I'd like to make some suggestions about the seminary course. He said, I find here that I don't know how to organize a Sunday school. And how to go about handling the problems of the Sunday school, he said. Why wasn't I instructed more in this in the seminary? Well, I'm sure he had had some information about it in classes, but what he needed was some practical experience, and we had been urging him to get it. And that was the very thing where he felt his great need, his great lack later on. We have opportunities. Are we using them to the full? When the Lord calls us, when we go to be with Him, we will look back and He will say, you remember that person you chatted with that time? You discussed all kinds of things with him, but you never mentioned Christ. You never mentioned to him his need of a Savior. That man was just right to receive the Lord. Just a word from you would have reached him. Oh, somebody else reached him later. But you could have done it. You had the opportunity, and you didn't do it. Missed opportunity. We constantly think, I'll do this when I get time. I'll do that. I could lay out 50 years of study and writing that I'd like to do. I'm afraid the Lord won't give me that much more time. But I know what I would like to do, and I'm sure all of you do. Are we utilizing that time? Are we realizing that time doesn't just go on and on and on and on as people thought in the United States Navy and in the Army and in the other organizations? that, and the people in the country here did, that it would go on, when suddenly on that morning of 1941, our whole lives were changed by that sudden cataclysm. During the next 4 years, life was very different than it had been here before. And it was during 1944, it was felt that the only possible way the war could be won was to take every young man and put him into the army if he was possibly physically able to accomplish anything. We were told that up to that time, our students had been free from the draft, if they were seminary students or in college, for 2 years before they would come. And the same was true of medical students. And then it was announced in 1944 that beginning on July 1st, that all young men who were not actually in a theological seminary or in a medical school would be drafted. We went and we talked to one of the officers in charge, and he said, yes, he said, I realize your situation, but he said, we need the young men. We've got to have them. It's hopeless if we don't. Well, you can well imagine that we expected we'd have no students for next fall if all were taken before. And so on the last day of June, our seminary, and I guess just about every other seminary in the country, began a summer school. That's the only summer school we've ever had, institution I've been connected with. That is a required summer school. But we, other seminaries, put themselves on an accelerated basis, and they went right straight through the year, from then till the end of the war. I strongly argued against that. I believe that if we do not take time for rest, time for recreation, we cannot accomplish what we should. And I feel that with a certain amount of change, a certain amount of rest, our students were able to learn more and accomplish more later than those who went right straight through on an accelerated basis until the end of the war. Things were nip and tuck there for a time as to how it would all turn out. But the beginning of it was sudden, unexpected to most of us, something that we never could have foreseen. And as we look ahead for each of us, we cannot tell what is ahead in our lives. We cannot tell how long the Lord will give us strength, how long He will give us health, how long He will give us life. Changes occur suddenly. But I believe it is important we be prepared for these changes. When Pearl Harbor occurred, as I mentioned a minute ago, the Japanese could have come in and seized California. I don't know how much further they would have gotten. It would have taken them a long time to bring supplies from Japan, but we were quite open before them at that time. Well, we had two big oceans on both sides. Nobody could get near us without spending a long time on the way. And we were able to get busy then and to spend many months building up an army, building a new navy, getting ready, getting prepared. And then after all that was prepared, it took weeks and weeks before men could be trained sufficiently to be able to carry on a war effectively. By the end of the war, the United States had a very well-trained military force, had perhaps the most effective and strongest military force that the world had ever seen. But we had had plenty of time to prepare it and to train it and to experiment along the way. The next time the oceans no longer exist, missiles can cross them in an instant or in a few minutes. There is not the barrier. It becomes necessary that we think ahead, that we consider things nationally, And I think more important, it brings to our attention the fact that in our personal lives, we need to think ahead. We will have all sorts of incitements to cause us to turn aside from the direction the Lord wants us to go in. They're bound to come. If you are capable, you will have people making you offers. It's very tempting to leave the Lord's work for a while. Here's an opportunity. I could make a lot of money in a short time. Think how much I could do for missions. Think how much I could do to help Christian organizations. Think how much I could do to help other people who are doing the Lord's work. Wonderful, if that's what the Lord's called you to. The Lord needs people like that. But the Lord also says what he thinks of those who set their hand to the plow and then turns back. I believe that the Lord has called each one who comes here. Perhaps not everyone. But in most cases, the Lord has definitely called you to devote your life to his service. He has called you to reach the people that need the message of Christ. He has called you to reach the confused Christians that you find everywhere. Knowing a little Christian truth, perhaps knowing the Lord as Savior, but not able to get into the Scripture for themselves and to find there the message that they need for their guidance, for their leadership. The Lord wants each of us to be his emissaries for this purpose. Oh, it's very interesting to get into some subject and study it if you're a studious type. Personally, I could read history from Noddle Doomsday and enjoy it. Study. I just love to study almost any field and get into it and go on in it. And I just have to say, no, my purpose isn't to study. My purpose is to do what the Lord wants me to do. Other people have other things that attract them, lead them away from God's purpose for them. We don't know whether God has going to give each one of us many, many years of service to him, or whether he will give us only a few. The Lord might take any one of us tonight. You don't know. But what the Lord is interested in is, will he find us faithful like those young navigators were found when the disaster struck and they were about the Lord's business? Will he find us when disaster strikes with our eyes on the Savior? With our realization of the mighty power of God that holds the whole world in his hand and that controls all things and will never let anything come into our life except as he has a purpose in it for our good and for the advancement of his kingdom. Oh, may God lead us each one to give thought and attention to working out the precise details of what he wants us to do. And may he enable us, when catastrophe comes, to be able to continue to keep our eyes on him. Not to get all excited and frustrated and forget what we're doing, get everything mixed up, but to know that God wants us to follow a straightforward course with our eyes on the Lord and our determination to do what he wants. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, as we think of this great sudden catastrophe of 40 years ago, and as we read these passages in which you predict that such times will come to many people until that greatest of all catastrophe that our Lord Jesus Christ predicted. Oh, our God, as we think of these, we think of the short few hours or days or years that you give each of us, and we pray that you will enable us to use it as you would have. Enable us, when catastrophe comes, to be able to look up and to say, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Enable us, our Father, not to lose our heads when catastrophe comes, not to get excited and become unable to accomplish things. But help us to realize that when they come, they could not come except you permitted them. And you have a good purpose for each of us, no matter what happened. Oh, our God, help us to be more conscious of the presence of God, that amid the foibles of human life and the strange attitudes that many take and the situations many of us have to face, that you are in control and that you are interested in each aspect of our lives and the way that we follow you. Oh, our God, we pray that you will hold us in your presence, draw us close to yourself, and use us for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this morning I'm supposed to give out papers for an evaluation, and they've just arrived. So,